Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy servants, which have gone out over the whole world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for ministers, for Bible teachers, for faithful witnesses who have carried the gospel to the hearts of men, telling them about the will of God in Christ Jesus to save those who would come unto Him. We pray Thee, Father, as we study, that we may understand their witness and testimony more, and that we ourselves might be able in ourselves to serve Thee in our time. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. In our study in the Gospel of Matthew, we come now in the 11th chapter to verse 7 and from there on, where we shall be thinking in terms mainly of John the Baptist. We are given here the opinion, but more a better way to say it would be the appraisal, the judgment of Jesus of Nazareth about John the Baptist as a servant of God. John the Baptist in himself actually was the living, walking representation of the Old Testament message. In his life, he manifested and demonstrated the law of God. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say about him. I'm reading now in the 11th chapter of Matthew, beginning to read at the 7th verse. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, "What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind?" Did you just go out there to hear something like a tall clump of grass just swaying the way the wind would blow over it? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? You think that because he's a prominent person, you'd see somebody that had just everything that was pleasing? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses, and John certainly didn't live in a king's house. You remember, he just lived with the poor. He was dressed like a poor man and ate like a poor man. He lived out with the people in the country. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yes, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." In other words, John the Baptist was not only a preacher, a prophet, a preacher of the gospel, or should I say of the law, of the word of God, but John the Baptist was a preparer of the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the forerunner of Christ, the herald of the coming King. He was the messenger sent before Christ himself. And the Old Testament in Isaiah in the 40th chapter has this to say, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face." God would send the messenger of God before the Lord Jesus Christ, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that John is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prediction. And then he says this, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Whenever the Lord Jesus uses that expression, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear," it pretty much seems to mean anybody that is acquainted enough with the Old Testament scriptures to know what I'm referring to will be able to get the meaning of what I have in mind by noticing the Old Testament scriptures. That's what this means. He that hath ears to hear. If you've got a sufficient grasp of the Old Testament scriptures that you can hear what I am intimating about John the Baptist, then go to the Old Testament scriptures and listen to what they have to say. Now, what did the Old Testament scriptures say? Simply, among other things, they said that Elijah must first come before Messiah would come. And now John, the Lord Jesus is saying, this is Elijah, namely John the Baptist. And this is going to be said again. We'll come across it again in the study of this book. But now I want to go back a bit further in this passage and take note that John the Baptist was one who was preparing the way of Jesus Christ. We've just said that he was the walking, living demonstration of the law of God. Everything the law of God meant, John the Baptist said the best that he could. A man filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. He was a man thoroughly versed in everything that had been revealed in the law of God. And this is what he preached to the people, urging them to respond to it. This was to prepare the way of Christ. Now, Paul has to say about the law that it's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. When Paul says that the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, you can see John the Baptist in action. He was a schoolmaster to bring people to receive Messiah, the Christ of God, a preparer of the way to Christ. Now, this would mean that John the Baptist did not so much announce the law. He didn't spend time setting forth the Ten Commandments. That was done by Moses, and that was recorded in the Scripture. But John the Baptist preached the importance of a sincere response to the law. You think about that. He didn't tell the people to bring sacrifices. They had that. He told them when they bring the sacrifices, bring them with a proper frame of mind. John the Baptist did not urge people that they should turn to God. The Old Testament told them to turn to God. He urged them when they come to God, come sincerely. Bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Right in God's sight is the requirement that God puts down. He wants anything that comes before him to be right. And this demands, on the part of those who come, genuine, sincere, heartfelt, actual response to the will of God. This is what John was preaching. Even a sinner is responsible that way. You see, a sinner is under obligation. He's under obligation to come to God and confess his sin. In other words, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. You'll say, well, a man might say, for example, well, there's no use of talking to me. I'm a sinner and I don't belong to God. God created you. God is your judge. So you're a sinner. That's true. Now what? Confess your sin. Come before God confessing your sin. Now, when you do come before God and you do go through the motions of confessing your sin, mean it. Now, that's what John preached. And in that way, he prepared people for receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. John's personal testimony was known to everyone. He had stepped out and told the whole world. And the Lord Jesus says about him that he was a great man, a great person, no one born of women greater than he. And then makes this interesting statement, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. I think that means this, that anyone who has the will of God operating in him by the Holy Spirit of God is greater than John the Baptist was, humanly speaking. It may mean this. Anyone fortunate enough to live after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given into the hearts of believers, is more fortunate than those who lived before Pentecost, who had the Scriptures in their heart and mind, and were being led of God to do according to the way the Scriptures would point out. That is not too clear, but you can be sure of one thing, that the Lord Jesus is not taking anything away from John the Baptist, that he would put him up above everything else. And then he says this, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. The things which are being preached and taught about the kingdom of God, about the kingdom of heaven, are being rudely and roughly rejected by people. And the violent take it by force. And John, here again, is a living, walking demonstration of the whole thing. They took him, threw him into prison, and then, under most ridiculous circumstances, had him beheaded. This is the way men deal with the law of God. And this bears out the whole truth, that John the Baptist, in himself, actually set forth the law of God to men. And men treated John the Baptist the way in which they treat the revelation of God. They violently destroyed him. They would violently destroy the law. They would violently reject and destroy the testimony that comes from God about the gospel and about the kingdom of heaven. All the prophets and the law prophesied until John. He was the final expression of the Old Testament testimony and witness. Now in verses 16 to 19, we see the response of the public to any kind of ministry, especially the ministry of the Old Testament, the ministry of the law. The response of the public to the servants of God is utterly unreliable. Let me say that again. The way the public responds to the true servants of God is utterly unreliable. You can't go by public opinion. Listen to this. Whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets, calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. In other words, the people were unresponsive. And the children would be saying, when we played a light, airy tune, you wouldn't dance. And when we played a slow, mournful tune, you wouldn't cry. Just wouldn't do anything. Then he goes on to say, John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. In our day and time, they'd say about him he was crazy. But actually, it's to say this is the way, in other words, he's acting irrationally. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. In other words, this fickle public criticized John for being too narrow, criticized the Lord Jesus for being too broad. You know what? They just criticized. And why? Because they were opposed. And so we find that even though a man is a great servant of God, it doesn't mean he can persuade everybody. And it means more that you and I should be very careful that we don't accept popular opinion of the servants of God. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to our hearts as we think on these things, and make us faithful to the assignments which thou hast given unto us. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.